Hi, everyone. Welcome to today's call. This is a conference call for the perinatal TAP for the Patient Safety Measures Project. As you probably know, we've sent out some emails recently, and we've got some changes to our agenda and to the focus of this group now, because we've actually had withdrawal of the measures that were initially intended to be considered by this TAP. So instead, today we're going to be talking a bit about the gaps that exist in NQF's portfolio of perinatal measures and trying to get some feedback from you on our current portfolio. Dr. Clark, did you want to make any comments to open the discussion? Dr. Clark, are you there? Or are you,
yeah.
On mute?
You did, the major gap that I would see here might be the addition of post-discharge readmission following delivery, which would be a comprehensive way, perhaps, of looking at a variety of complications and looking at the quality of care that was given during the labor and delivery process. And that would be the most, that would be the biggest gap that I see in the measures existing.
Right. Hold that thought, Dr. Clark. I'm sorry. We should actually start out with some preliminaries here. I'm going to have Ann Hammersmith, who is our general counsel, just do a quick roll call and ask for any disclosures of interest before we begin.
Hi, everyone. You'll recall that before you were named to the committee, you received disclosure of interest forms, which you filled out and returned, and we've reviewed those. We do ask you to do an oral disclosure at the beginning of the meeting in the spirit of openness and transparency, and so that you'll each know where your fellow committee members are coming from. I do want to remind you that you are serving on this committee as an individual. You're not representing the organization with which you are affiliated, nor are you representing an organization that might have nominated you to the committee. So I'm going to call your name and ask you to tell us who you're with and to reveal anything that you think your fellow committee members should know. We don't want you or expect you to summarize your CV or just even summarize everything that you put on the disclosure of interest form, just things that you think are. So I'd like to start with Stephen Clark.
This is Steve Clark. The only thing I think everyone should know is I caught and released a really big brown trout 2 days ago.
Congratulations.
Other than that, I've got nothing of interest.
Okay, thank you. Alan Fleischman.
I'm with the March of Dimes. I'm a pediatrician, neonatologist. My work has been in public policy, public health, and bioethics.
Anything to disclose besides that? I'll take that as a no.
Oh.
Okay. Diana, is it Jolis or Holis?
Diana Jolis. I have nothing to disclose. I'm a nurse midwife. I live in Corpus Christi, Texas, study at Texas Women's University, and teach for Texas A&M.
Okay, thank you. Elliot Main.
Hi. As my position in the California Maternal Quality Care Collaborative, I've been a developer of measures and a consumer of measures both with our public release programs here, but otherwise no conflicts.
Okay, thank you. Karen Petticord.
I'm the CEO for the Association of Women's Health Obstetric and Neonatal Nurses, and that organization has a quality measure database called EDGE.
Okay, thank you. Laura Riley. Is Laura Riley on the phone?
She has not joined.
I'm sorry, we didn't hear that.
Laura Riley has not joined.
Oh, she has not joined. All right, thank you. Carol Sakala?
Yes, I'm Carol Sakala, Director of Programs at Childbirth Connection, and I have nothing to disclose.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, everyone, for participating in this disclosure of interest. Do you have any questions for me or for your fellow committee members? Okay, thank you very much.
Hi, everyone. This is Peter Angood. I'm just going to make a couple comments to open us up. I am the Senior Advisor for Patient Safety at National Quality Forum and oversee the various safety programs that we have underway here. You've been through our orientation call, and so I'm not going to describe all of the different parts of our safety portfolio. But the development of patient safety measures is a critically important piece of that portfolio. And as we have gone through the initial stages of reviewing the submitted measures, we originally thought that we were going to have need for a perinatal technical advisory panel based on the number of submitted measures. We did some initial review of these measures that were submitted for this round and discussed with the vendor steward whether or not the measures were actually mature enough at this stage in order to go through our fairly rigorous consensus development process. In the discussions, which Dr. Clark was involved with, as well as Andrew and Heidi Bosley, the decision was made by the vendor steward to withdraw the measures at this point in time, but that still left us with a sense that it would be important to have some open discussion on perinatal measurement and where we could move forward with this. What you should have on your screens is the list of current NQF-endorsed perinatal measures. These are up for a maintenance cycle for review in the spring of 2011, and the measure steward that had submitted measures for this cycle would like to target resubmission for sometime in the spring, hopefully to coincide with the maintenance of these existing measures. And so, as Andrew was opening up earlier, we want to take advantage of your expertise, have some open discussion in terms of where some of the gap areas for perinatal measurement might be, and the result of this discussion may help the measure stewards out there for further submission as well as for maintenance moving forward. Assuming that everyone would continue to remain interested, then we'd sort of put this tap on a hold for a few months until we got underway again later on. But we would certainly check and reassert whether or not your interest is still there at a later time. So with that as some opening comments, I just wanted to know whether Heidi Bosley would want to make a comment as well, and then I'll turn it back to Andrew. Heidi?
I
just asked if you wanted to make comments on my general comments.
No, I think just to explain a little further what will happen with the measures that were before you but are really on hold until the perinatal meets in the spring. Again, that will be part of our new endorsement maintenance process where we will have a newly convened steering committee look at both new measures that are submitted, of which the ones that we have from the folks from
NPIC
will be looked at, in addition to those under maintenance. So it will be a really thorough review of what will be, what we hope, a comprehensive set of measures looking at perinatal care. I think today it would be valuable to have you have that discussion of what are the areas that really are missing, and we will use that information not only as a part of the report for patient safety, but also as to the call for intent for measures and our call for measures in the spring, it will help us refine that list and really perhaps focus on the gap areas you identified today. But thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Hey, Andrew. Thanks.
Exciting. So with that, again, I would maybe turn back to Dr. Clark to see if you had mentioned one gap that you had already identified, but also if you wanted to give any sort of introductory remarks or guidance to the panel as we enter this discussion.
I think the only other thing that is important to realize is that we don't, in my view, the more measures we have, the less important is any single measure, in that it de-emphasizes it primarily. And secondly, if you have a lot of measures that different groups can choose from to pick up, obviously you're going to have less data to ultimately build any sort of benchmarking database. And so while there are a lot of good measures, dozens and dozens and dozens of good things that would improve healthcare, I would just caution people to let's be careful as we go into this next cycle, and as we most of us have been proposers and developers of measures, et cetera, that we really look at what we've got, look at what's needed, and I don't think we need to strain ourselves to come up with new measures, but let's look critically at refining these measures so we get the ones that are apt to be of most importance in improving quality of care, even though there are others that that might be nice, because I do think we're approaching the point when you look at this list of where we should perhaps think about knocking one out for every one we add. That's just a thought.
Great. Thanks, Dr. Clark. Does anybody else have any thoughts to begin with? If not, again, I would just ask if in your probably brief time you've had to review this list, if any gaps jump out at you, sort of on a quick read of the list. Dr. Clark, again, I believe you had mentioned one thing at least that had occurred to you.
Right, and I'd be interested in hearing people's comments there. Kind of noticeably shy in the list on meaningful maternal outcome measures. And this is one that is fairly easy to collect, and it's kind of a provides, you might, it's almost a composite measure of everything that happened during labor and delivery. Thoughts?
This is Carol Paula, and that is one of the areas that I would be inclined to highlight. I think there's a strong emphasis on outcome measures in NQF, and I have especially been influenced by our New Mothers Speak Out report from Childbirth Connection. It combines the Listening to Mothers survey and then a follow-up 6 months later, and I'm happy to share a PDF with the group, but we documented a host of new onset conditions that women said that they experienced in the first 2 months, and then for some of them, actually pretty surprising and largely unrecognized levels of continuing to experience them 6 months or more later. So it's a really important area, and it's a kind of hidden area right now, but we do face challenges in documenting outcomes after hospital discharge. And I was struck by the importance of doing that when I read a report last year in the Scandinavian OBGYN journal that was based on a Danish registry that found that 77% of postpartum infections appeared after hospital discharge. So I think this is a really important area. I agree about that composite would be great.
And we are really faced with challenges right now that we can perhaps simultaneously work with electronic health records and other evolving components of our healthcare system to be able to better get a handle on some of these issues.
Thank you, Carol. Any other thoughts from the group?
This is Diana Jala.
Hi.
I can't see. I don't see anything happening on the presentation. So just to clarify,
yeah.
You said you were had posted the measures. Are they posted?
Well, we are trying to.
Okay.
It's showing that they're up on our screen with everybody else. Can anybody see the list of measures on the webinar?
Karen Petticord, I can.
You can? Great.
But I wanted to make a comment about the measures. As I read them, what really sticks out for me as being a gap is the concept of optimality, that, you know, if 85% of the women are entering the hospital physiologically low risk, what are the measures we could include to represent optimality in order to reflect variations in care that are prevalent and are decreasing the quality. Simple things like of all of the women who indicated on their admission to the hospital or to their birth organization that they intended to breastfeed, how many of that sample were breastfeeding at all on discharge? That whole group of measures are not represented.
Okay.
And Karen, I would second that. It's really thrilling to me that the two issues I would most have mentioned have just come up already. I think that we really need measures of appropriateness of care for women who do not require a lot of intervention and are ending up with high rates of surgery and other outcomes that I think in many cases could have been avoided in the postpartum period. So I agree with you.
Hi, this is Elliot in California. I had to step away for a minute, but I heard most of the comments. In California, we've been looking at a measure for postpartum readmission through OSHPAD, which is the state quality organization that's actually part of state government. And they've been actually looking at this with Pat Romano for about 6 years now. And it's clearly straightforwardly defined if you readmit to the hospital. It's almost entirely driven by infection and bleeding, late postpartum bleeding. And it is, of that, it is largely driven by the C-section rate. C-sections have a much higher rate of readmission than vaginal deliveries, so it has stymied the measures or what has been a source of discussion and non-resolution is whether you adjust for indications for C-section when you do the postpartum measure. And that's an interesting philosophical one. But there is some data out there, and there are some attempts to look at this measure, but there are some tricky issues still at play, with that probably being the most important one. There is a measure current about term babies who had exclusive breastfeeding at the time of during the hospitalization of birth, and that's close to what was recommended, but not exactly the same, but that's pretty close. That exists. The third measure, the area that sort of gets to optimality, is a measure that we submitted to NQF that has gone through the Pediatric Population Committee, and I don't see it on this list. That has been gone through the first levels of committee. It may not be fully, I think it's in the endorsement phase right now, but that is looking at term healthy babies. i.e. asking the question, if you come into the hospital without an underlying medical or fetal issue, what is the proportion of babies that that leave without complications? And that's, so that excludes, or that's identifying a whole host of issues in the newborn period that are, that generally should not occur in otherwise healthy, non-anomalous babies. I haven't heard back from NQF whether we have a number assigned yet, but it got strong approval in the pediatric population review committee.
This is Heidi. That measure, I think, if I remember correctly, is in the final stages of the Outcomes Child Health Project. So has not yet gone for vote, if I remember correctly. It's out for comment at the moment.
I hadn't heard anything back about any further information required or where it was in the system.
Excuse me. You will?
Okay.
As soon as, I'm sorry, I'm choking here. As soon as the comment period ends.
Comment period is usually for a month, and then we review that and recontact everyone. We're quietly doing CPR on Heidi in the background here, but we're getting a success.
Yeah, we're good.
And just to let everybody know, we're trying to reboot the webinar portion so we can get everybody on and seeing what we see on our screen. But please go ahead and continue the discussion while we... Well, we do that.
It looks like you've listed your measures purely by their measure number, but it may also be of value to arrange them by category because they are kind of spread out and... You have two measures for HIV status, for example, HIV testing during pregnancy. So you have some categories like there's five or six measures just about whether you got prenatal labs done, which is a little overkill.
Well, that's useful to know as well.
And there's a set of measures that are purely NICU care that could be grouped together.
Yeah, we can do some grouping like that. If you could give us feedback on how you think they ought to be categorized, rather, that would be helpful. That's an issue we have sometimes. There are differing views on how to categorize measures exactly. So the measures that you have in front of you at the moment were categorized by staff here at NQF for the maintenance process, and we haven't, for these measures, I don't think, dug down any further than just saying that they're related to perinatal care. So that determines which maintenance group they're going to be considered with. But we can do some sort of deeper tagging of specific issues
sure.
If that would be useful.
This is Laura Riley. It might be in terms of the grouping, I agree with Elliot that if they are grouped, I'm just sort of scanning the list, if they are grouped, it might be helpful to see that we have X number of measures of prenatal care or antenatal care, X number of measures concerning maternal delivery, X number concerning postpartum, and then there's newborn care, well newborn care, and then there's NICU.
That's exactly where I was going, Laura.
That might help us figure out where there are gaps. Or where there are places where there's, as Elliot said, maybe a little too much, and we might want to spend some time getting more information about some other aspect of either pregnancy, the delivery, or postpartum.
Okay, great. That's good to know.
Yeah, Elliot, so I think I heard you volunteer to put together a preliminary grouping.
Sure. That's what I do when I run meetings, Steve. So it's fair game. if someone starts talking about a topic, that means they volunteered. Okay.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
So this
is Carol Sakala again, and I think that Steve's comment is really well taken about the importance of honing in on some really significant priority measures. I don't know if anyone has the numbers, but I think it's also important to think of a good distribution across different entities who might be measured. And some categories for that would be individual clinicians and clinician groups. Facilities, and I think that's probably the majority here, are facility measures, health plans, and we should be looking ahead to accountable care organizations. So I think in that regard, this current set is probably would probably be shown to be very imbalanced.
You say very invalid or imbalanced?
Imbalanced.
What are the categories that NQF is using now for levels of measurement?
What are the levels NQF is using? Could you repeat the question again?
Carol put out a variety of different categories or different levels of measurement, i.e. at the provider, at the hospital, at the at the health plan, or even at a state level, which ones are is NQF looking at to? Because you've already categorized these, I believe, in a certain number of levels since I filled out the forms.
Right, you're correct. So NQF has multiple levels of analysis or measurement that we will look at or look for measures to be specified to, anywhere from an individual clinician all the way up to the population. We can send around the specific list or categories, the checkboxes that we have, but it is individual, group, facility, more of an integrated delivery system, health plan, population. I'm missing a few, but it crosses the entire spectrum. Helpful.
I can see is it. I can group them, and then maybe you could fill in a grid what these measures have been vetted for or have been proposed for.
Yeah, it's a good point. Part of what we should provide, maybe moving forward, anytime we give a list like this, is the level of analysis. Anytime we send a report out for comment, we typically do, but we, I think, sometimes forget to provide that for existing endorsed measures. That's a really good point. We can provide that here.
So this is Carol again. No one else has anything. I also feel that there's a focus on clinical care and room for measures that would look at some other dimensions, such as issues of disparities, issues of care coordination, and shared decision-making.
Thanks, Carol. That's helpful. So does anybody have any further thoughts? If you'd like to review the list further, I know we gave this to you pretty shortly before the call. Yeah, if there isn't any further discussion, we can always just kind of shut things down here and we can get your feedback via email. That would also be very helpful.
I would say, yeah, the next step will be us to have us write this up, and then we'll circulate it amongst the group, and as you think of additional items, we can add that to the list.
comments, Dr. Clark?
No, thank you all for participating today. We look forward to your participation once we get this rolling in the spring.
Thanks, Dr. Clark. We should still pause for a moment to just see if there's any members of the public on the line who'd like to give comments. Operator, could you tell us if there's anybody on the line at the moment who'd like to comment?
Yes, I'll open all lines. One moment. All lines are open.
Hi, Andrew. This is Janet Urey from NPIC. I just want to thank you for inviting me to be on the call. Dr. Pratt was not available, but the discussion is very helpful. I think we felt that moving the consideration of the AOI to the spring perinatal project makes a lot of sense. So we look forward to that opportunity. But I guess one thing that we've raised, and I don't know if you can comment on this or if any of the TAP members can comment, the issue of requiring all of the individual measures of a composite measure to be fully endorsed by NQF. I know there may be some discussion about that. I don't know, you know, if members of the TAP have thoughts about that. One of the considerations or one of the thoughts that we've been struggling with is that within the AOI there is a birth trauma adverse event, and the definition of that, the codes that go into that definition are slightly different from the current endorsed PSI 17 from AHRQ. So how do you reconcile that? I mean, would it be a situation where you couldn't endorse two birth trauma measures, we would have to reconcile our birth trauma with the currently endorsed birth trauma measure? I guess that's just sort of the most obvious issue around, as I said, requiring each of the individual adverse events to be fully endorsed.
This is Steve. I think one of the problems with one of the good things about that requirement is that it does promote the harmonization with previous measures, which is one of the critical aspects of analysis. As you may know, the world is having enough heartache right now with different definitions of the pre-39-week delivery by NQF, by Joint Commission, and by Leapfrog.
Mm-hmm.
They all got different definitions for these things, and if NQF itself now comes out and has different definitions for birth trauma, it really has the potential for mass confusion. And it's probably the quickest way I know that any organization would say, well, we're not going to pick that one to endorse or okay, because it would be too confusing. So your measure would be strengthened, I believe, if internally that were harmonized with existing NQF measures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. I appreciate that feedback. I think looking at each of the subcodes will be important. Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I guess my concern is that part of the idea of a composite is that the composite is maybe bigger than the individual pieces. So whether or not, if you run into a situation where each of the individual pieces or the events couldn't be endorsed, you would lose the benefit of the composite that may have some real value. But again, I think that's a whole discussion. But I would like certainly the TAP to think about that.
Any other public comments?
You know, actually, this is Janet again. I'm sorry. I did have a thought about the postpartum readmission. I guess I'm interested in tracking the question of tracking readmissions to the non-delivering hospital. So for Dr. Mann, I didn't know, were you able to do that? Were you able to track readmissions to the non-delivering hospital, or are you just talking about readmissions to the delivering hospital?
No, with statewide patient discharge diagnosis, they can track it to the delivering hospital. So even if you get readmitted to another hospital, it was still identified.
Okay.
So that data comes from the state rather than from the individual hospital.
Right.
It comes from an organization that collects data from all hospitals.
Okay.
Rather than from an individual hospital.
Right. Okay.
That you identify.
So I think the dilemma then, though, I don't know if most states have that capability. So you run into the risk of sort of understating readmissions at some hospitals if they deliver the woman and she's readmitted to another hospital and they can't track it back to the delivering hospitals. I think that's the.
It's generally limited to 6 weeks postpartum, you're still under the care of the obstetrician. So most, a very, very high percentage ended up being readmitted to the hospital of birth, but there is that chance that you will miss some.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was still a very high percent.
But I do think that the fact that most states don't have that capability is maybe a positive, because I think most of the reporting hospitals would be in that same boat, where you're going to be losing a few to another hospital, but also gaining a few from another hospital. Nobody's expecting for any of these measures a zero rate, or very few of these. We're looking for a zero rate. I would think that would probably all come out in the wash in terms of the I think that's going to be small enough, because as Elliot said, you basically have the same doctor. That number is probably small enough to fall within the two standard deviations that anyone would be using to judge quality.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it may not be it's a true issue, FRS for sure, but it may not be a big issue.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thanks, everybody. Any more comments from the public at this time? Or Diana, do you have anything else to add?
Sure. No, Elliot, one thing you could I hate to keep asking you, but if you had these numbers handy from your California data, what percentage of readmissions do go to a different hospital?
Sure, no, I was thinking about that. But, these are the kind of questions that you have to have answered to develop this as a formal proposal. Well, in the next month or two, I'll see what I can get on that and see whether they or we are ready to submit that as a measure. I'd like to actually ask Carol Sakala a follow-up question, which is, I think the reason that most of these measures are clinically based or hospital based for the large part is because that's essentially where the data is. And I'm curious as to what other data sets there are that would be non-hospital, non-health plan based that would be used to judge care in this manner.
Well, I don't have specific ideas, and obviously the clinical data would be the best one. So some of the I think there is a currently endorsed NQF measure on shared decision making, and I'm not sure what it is, but it could be as simple as a certain crucial element. It was documented that there was a discussion about the decision-making process. So I don't have any specifics, and I recognize that NQF is moving in these areas and giving importance to it, and I understand that there is an upcoming project on shared decision-making. They've already started a focus on care coordination, so I'm sure people with more experience than I are finding creative ways to look at these considerations.
Andrew, that is an important area for obstetrics as well, the shared decision making. So any cross fertilization with that committee in this would be of interest, I think.
Great, thanks.
This is Diana Jollis. I just on that topic of additional sources of information, I do want to mention the American Association of Birth Center data set, which is quite extensive. It's a prospective data set that includes over 121 variables on all women that enter care with birth center. So it includes women who are transferred off for high-risk medical conditions, women who are lost from caseload, women who choose to change providers, and then it carries the rest of the caseload forward. If they aren't lost from caseload during the antepartum period, it carries them through their intrapartum and postpartum follow-up. And there are key pieces of information there that could help you get shared decision-making information, simple things like what is your intention for infant feeding? What is your intention for pain relief in labor? And those can be kind of proxy indicators. Well, you intended to do this, and like we're discussing here, none of these measures will lead to 100% success. But you expect that if someone intends to do something and they're entering the system physiologically low risk, that a certain decent percentage of them should succeed with that, and if they're given the proper support from the experts. So that's one data set, and then there's a large benchmark data set that is available also. I think there are 100 variables in that data set, and that's been in existence through the American College of Nurse Midwives since 1998. So we could kind of look at some of those and figure out if we don't have optimality or shared decision-making or process-type pieces, they're certainly not designed to be exclusively for use in nurse midwifery settings or in birth centers. As a matter of fact, I think Duke uses the American Association of Birth Center data set, and there may be other larger obstetric practices that are participating.
Are these research databases, or are they used, for example, all birth centers have to use this database?
It's encouraged, it's not required, but all birth centers that are certified with the national certifying organization are given access to the data set, and it's highly encouraged. I'm not sure what the percentage of compliance is, but I can get that information. I mean, it does just help set some information about benchmarks. I was trying to think if I had another point, but I think, does that touch on the question you were asking?
Yeah, I think it would be helpful to help to make, to look, to examine at least whether or how some of these current measures fit in other patient care settings. But you really want to have data sets that people are obligated to collect if you're using it for quality assessment.
Mm-hmm. Another thought I'm having is, you know, to try to make sure that we're, I don't know with health information technology what the largest product is for use with obstetrics, but they do have metrics or measures already embedded in them where you're asking the patient what their intention is upon admission for certain things, and then you can easily pull out what the outcome was so that it shouldn't be that hard. It, of course, wouldn't be comprehensive in every city and every state, but we could find a way to get a lot of information through those electronic medical records.
Mm-hmm. additional comments? If not, we'll end the call for today, and we'll recontact you via email and try to, you know, get a little bit more feedback that way. But does anybody have anything to add for the moment? Well, hearing none, I think we'll close the call for today. And again, we'll be in touch via email. Thanks, everybody, for taking the time today to get on a call with us for a little while. We've already gotten some good feedback and input on for our spring cycle of perinatal measure maintenance. And again, we will contact you shortly with some more information or questions for you, or feel free to give us an email or a call if you have anything you'd like to add in the meantime. So thanks again, everybody, and we will speak to you later.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. That does conclude today's conference. Thank you for your participation.